Hopefully you guys had a good week. Rithik and I, we just came back yesterday from Seoul, Korea. It was a great trip of meeting with some of our brothers and sisters from HMCC of Hong Kong, some of the leadership there, and just learning and growing together. Also had an opportunity to meet up with various people in Seoul, Korea doing ministry. And so we met up with one pastor. He's been there for like 20-some years, a Korean-American pastor. He has an international church, and he also helps others to start international churches as well. And so when you think about like Seoul, Korea, it's like one of the cities where it's most reached, right? And so the question is, are there still need for churches to come in? And it was really interesting because he was saying because of the decrease in population in Korea in general, what the government is trying to do, at least within the university systems, is they're trying to recruit a lot more international students to come to Seoul to study. And so one of the things that he was talking about was the reality that the nations are actually coming to Seoul. And so there's a need to start up more international churches to reach, because they're coming from all different parts of the world. And so that was interesting. And then we also met up with some younger Korean, or I guess Korean pastors, like in their maybe like mid-40s and so forth, just doing ministry and just really a unique way of doing ministry in the way that they're living out the realities of the gospel. And so it was just, I think it was a really encouraging trip to see not only what God is doing in Seoul, but I think really giving us a heart for the nations. And so in the coming months, I just want to share more of what God is doing, and hopefully the things that we can do to be involved in that, okay? All right, so we've been talking about the Great Commission as we are closing out our Missions Month. And so we've been talking about really the essence of what the Great Commission is. And so we've been diving into the Great Commission. And so first week, if you remember, we talked about, when you think about the Great Commission, what motivates us in the Great Commission? Because on one hand, we see that the needs in the world is great. There are so many people living in places where they have yet to hear the name of Jesus. And yes, it is the need that helps us to understand that we need to go and make disciples of all nations. But ultimately, what motivates us in the Great Commission is the fact that Jesus is worthy. That Jesus is worthy to receive worship, and that he is worthy of worship from all the nations. And so we talked about that. And not only the what motivates us in the Great Commission, but we also talked together about really the Great Commission. When you think about Jesus is calling for us to go and to make disciples of all nations, it's this reality that we first have experienced God's compassion in our own lives as well. And so the Great Commission, it reflects God's compassion that we have received. And because of that compassion that we have received, that we want to go forth and call the nations to experience that grace and mercy. And it really is a privilege that we have. And then this morning, we want to finish off by focusing on the second half of Matthew 18:20, where Jesus promises us with his presence. And so once again, we've been doing this together as a church. If you don't feel too uncomfortable, well, I'm going to make you do this. All right. Let's stand together as we read Matthew 20:8-20, in one voice. Once again, this is the Great Commission. Let's go ahead and read this together. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So as we look at this last promise that Jesus makes, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," the one thing that I want to give us simply is this, that Jesus' presence empowers and sustains us in his commission. That it's his presence that empowers and sustains us in this great commission that Jesus speaks into our lives. And so think about this promise that Jesus makes, right? At the end of this great commission, this is what he declares. Once again, 20b, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the NIV, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In the New Living Translation, it says, and be sure of this, be certain of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I don't know about you, but it's comforting to know that when Jesus gives us this great commission, that he doesn't end the great commission with a commandment. He doesn't tell us, okay, this is what you need to go, and then he stops. But he actually gives us this promise, the promise of his presence, that I am with you always. And I think that promise is really important because it points us to these three truths about Jesus' promise in the Great Commission. And so this is what I want to talk about this morning, the three truths that the promise of Jesus' presence points us to. The first truth is this, that the Great Commission is a commission for all believers. I believe that the reason why Jesus ends the Great Commission with this promise, that he is going to be with us always to the end of the age, because this is not just a commission for, you know, few people in the church, but it's actually for everyone who professes Christ as Lord and Savior. He says, I send you to the nations. It's really Jesus' calling for us as his disciples to multiply ourselves, right? That we are called to make disciples who will make other disciples. And in this, he says, it is my presence that will empower you. And so when you think about even the way that Matthew writes his book, the Gospel of Matthew, in the beginning, when Jesus calls the disciples, he says this in Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so he invites them by reminding them that as Jesus calls them, that he calls them to be fishers of men. So this is their first encounter with Jesus, and then his last words, right before he's about to be taken up into heaven, he gives the final words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, that every follower of Jesus is supplier, right? Every follower of Jesus is a disciple maker. And so the first words that Jesus speaks into our lives is, hey, come follow me. And as you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And the last words that Jesus speaks into our lives is, go and make disciples of all nations. This great commission is not a question of, am I called into the mission of Jesus? But the question that the Great Commission begs us to really wrestle with and answer for ourselves is not the question of if, but it's the question of how that's going to look like. And that's why we've been talking about Jesus is calling for us to be his witnesses. Some of us, it's going to be in Austin. Others of us, it's going to be, I don't know, Houston. Others of us, it's going to be in Toronto or Mexico City. Others of us, it's going to be in Manila, Philippines, or Nairobi, Kenya. And others of us, it's going to be to the ends of the earth. So it's not a question of if we are called to be a witness, but it's the question of how that's going to look and where Jesus is going to send us. Jesus makes it very clear that this great commission is for the believers. That's why this great commission is for the church. Now, the reality is that not everyone in the church is going to the ends of the earth. And not everyone is called to go to the ends of the earth. But we need to remind ourselves every time we gather together like this that the great commission for us is to be what? A witness. So are we being a witness? Jesus gives us this promise because every single one of us is called. Because if we're not called, then we don't need that promise of his presence. But because every single one of us is called, he gives us that promise, right? And so the Great Commission is a commission for all believers. Not only that, but the second truth is this, Now, when you think about the Great Commission, there are real challenges. There are real challenges for the Great Commission being fulfilled. And I think Jesus knew this, that even as he spoke this command to go and make disciples of all nations, he knew the challenges that disciples would face. He knew the challenges that you and I would face. And because of this challenge that we face, he gives us this promise that, hey, listen, I'm going to be with you. So when you think about some of the challenges or maybe the hindrances, I think about the external challenges to the Great Commission. You know, when you talk about, or I guess when you talk to people who are engaged in the ministry of trying to reach the unreached, they say there's a reason why the unreached are unreached, because it's hard. And there are few who are willing to go where the unreached are. Because I think about trying to reach with the gospel. It's not easy. It's not easy being a faithful witness in our classrooms. It's not easy being a faithful witness in our workplaces. Now, take that and think about trying to bring the gospel to a country like, I don't know, Mongolia. The reason why I was thinking about Mongolia is because the Arise movement, I think they're doing Arise Asia or Arise Mongolia soon. And so when we were in Seoul, one of the sisters is helping to organize that, and she was talking about like going to Mongolia and all this stuff. The Kalak peoples of Mongolia, which there are 2.4 million of them, think about the challenges and the realities of bringing the gospel to where they are. It's not easy, right? When we were in Seoul, we had the opportunity to visit, it's Yonghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery. It's a cemetery that's dedicated to the early missionaries who came to Seoul to share the gospel. And it was really a somber experience, because whenever you go to a seminary, it's a very somber experience because you just recognize that your life is finite. But not only that, but it was really a somber experience of realizing that here are people who came, even though they fully knew that there were going to be very difficult challenges. But despite these challenges, they came in obedience to the Great Commission. And so, if we can turn to the next slide. This is Rudy Kendricks. She is actually one of the missionaries who is buried there. She's a fellow Texan. She died at the age of 25 in 1908. And right next to her grave is this stone, headstone, I guess. That's what you would call it, right? Where it describes some of the things that he wrote in her journal. And in her journal, she writes, "If I had 1,000 lives to give, Korea should have them all." So she was in Korea only for 2 years. She died because of the various diseases and health complications and so forth. But just think about back then, 1908. When people went, they went fully knowing that they might not come back. There are real external challenges and obstacles, right? But more than that, I think for many of us, it's the internal obstacles. It's the internal challenges that we wrestle with. Think about what Jesus says. Luke 9, 57 through 62, he says, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another he said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Now think about the internal obstacles that Jesus is talking about here. When he says, there are real challenges to following him. And we need to make the connection that following him isn't just going along with what Jesus is doing. Part of what it means to follow him is actually to engage in his commission. That there is no followership of Jesus without us engaging in the things that Jesus is calling us to do. So think about what Jesus says when he says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So in other words, if we decide to follow him, if we decide to commit ourselves, not only in loving and worshiping Jesus, but actually engaging in the things that Jesus calls us to do, he says what? That there are no guarantees to financial or even material security. And that's a real big challenge, right? Especially because we're in this context where many of you who are students, you're here. Yes, you want to do well in your studies and so forth, but the reality is that we're here because part of the things that we're pursuing after are these things that everyone wants. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to have financial security. Not necessarily a bad thing to have things that we need in this life. But Jesus says more than what we are seeking and longing for, that there needs to be a greater commitment. And for some people, this is a real obstacle that we have to wrestle with. Think about what Jesus says when he says, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus says that if you decide to follow me, then I have to be what? Your greatest commitment. And yes, it's important for us to love our parents. It's important for us to be committed to the relationships that we have with others and so forth. But he says what? That I have to be the most important allegiance, where you following me trumps everything else. So that even if it's going to cost you some of these important relationships in your life, Jesus says, this is what it looks like to follow me. This is what it looks like to engage in my calling for you. And then Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He's saying that when you decide to follow me, that there is no second guessing. There's no turning back. Jesus demands undivided hearts, undivided attention and focus. There are true challenges that we face in following Jesus. True challenges that we face in thinking about what it would look like for us to engage in Jesus' commission. Because I was thinking about even for these missionaries, as we were wandering around the cemetery, even for these missionaries, I'm sure many of them had to wrestle with these internal challenges, that once they left their homes and went to a foreign country, that they might never be able to come back and see their loved ones again, that there was no guarantee that they were going to have security, whether it's relational security, whether it's financial security and so forth. I want to show this video. It's from, once again, Radical Ministry. And I think it visually highlights the difficulties of trying to bring the gospel to unreached people groups. Okay? So it's about 10 minutes long, but I think it's going to be worth it. So let's go ahead and watch this video together. Sorry for the awkward stop, but then he talks about radical ministry and so forth, which is a great ministry, but not really relevant for our purpose, right? I wanted to show this video because it's not easy. It's not easy to count the cost. I think sometimes it's not easy to really trust that Jesus actually can do what he proclaims that he will do. Because I was just thinking about just even our church. I think it's always challenging whenever I go overseas and, you know, we meet up with pastors. One of the pastors that we met up with, I mean, huge churches. And you're talking about like hundreds of thousands of members with budgets that, you know, like I can't even imagine, and mobilizing just so many people. And I just think about like our church, we're small. Even though we've been around for a while, the reality is that we're a young church, meaning that majority of our members are very young. And I just think about like how in the world as a church can we participate in Jesus' great commission? That if we truly believe that this isn't just for rich churches, it's not just for large churches, it's not just for churches that have, I don't know, older people with steady income and jobs and families, and maybe they're not as transient and they're more planted in their communities. How in the world can we be faithful to this great commission? It's hard. And that's why there are still unreached people groups. With our ability to travel all over the world, with our ability to market our products, when we were meeting up with the pastor in Seoul, Korea, the one who's doing the international church planning, his vision is also to be a sending church. And one of the slides that he showed us, and I was trying to look for this slide online, but I couldn't find it. Maybe they put it together. And he was, it's a graph of just all the different places in this world where McDonald's has entered into that market. And it's just all over the world. Some places that the gospel hasn't even gone yet, that there are McDonald's and Coca-Cola. And the reason why they're there is what? Because they believe in making profit from their, I was going to say food, but I guess it's food. The consumable goods that they're selling. The reality is that there are true obstacles and hindrances. Because I'm sure even for some of us, as we've been going through Missions Month, you're thinking about, you're only, I don't know, a junior, sophomore, you're just starting your career, not even, you know, whether you're single or you're thinking about like family ties and so forth. You know, like how in the world will you actually participate in the Great Commission? And I think this is the beauty of the Great Commission. Because, and we'll close out with this, they mentioned this in the video as well. When you think about the certainty of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, because Jesus does promise that his gospel will go forth to the ends of the world, Jesus promises that all nations will come to bow down at his feet. The certainty of the Great Commission being fulfilled, it's not dependent on us. It's not dependent on our abilities. It's not even dependent on our determination to go, but it's dependent on this promise that he makes, that he will be with us always to the end of the age. And it's not just this promise that he gives to comfort us, but it's actually a promise that he speaks in our lives so that we will be empowered to go. Right? Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5:20. He says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us." So he's talking about Jesus who is able to do in us more abundantly than what we ask or even think. How you are thinking about your life right now. Paul says, I guarantee you that that Jesus is able to do far more than what you are willing to do or what you are willing to think about or even willing to entertain. In other words, the hope rests not on us, but the hope rests in God. The hope rests in the fact that Jesus will work in our hearts, that he will stir up within our hearts a passion and a desire to follow him. The fulfillment of the Great Commission, it's not based on who we are and what we're able to do, but it's based on who Jesus is and the fact that he is able to work in and through our lives. Because you think about this calling that Jesus has for us. It's to be part of something that is way beyond our abilities and our strengths, right? But even as Jesus speaks this great commission, he's not speaking this commission to set us up so that we might fail. But he speaks this commission into our lives because he says, as you trust in me, Jesus says, don't worry, I got this. I'm the one who's going to carry you, empower you. Once again, Pastor David Platt says this. We know that obedience to the Great Commission will not be easy, and we know that it will be costly. But we also know that it will be worth it. Jesus will return, and his reward will be infinitely greater than any cost we have paid. So together, let's hope in the promise of his return for us. And once again, the one thing for us is this: Jesus' presence empowers and sustains us in his commission. That it's his presence that empowers and sustains us in his commission. So how do we get to that place where maybe some of us, Jesus will say, I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth? Well, we get to that place by every single day listening to his voice that says, follow me. Right? Every single day, just learning to follow Jesus. Learning to live our lives in obedience to the small things. When you wake up in the morning, when Jesus invites you to follow him, as you go into the word and as you spend time in prayer in his presence, in the small things of praying for your friends, your classmates, your people around you at your workplace that do not know who Christ is. Small things, small steps that you take in living your life in obedience. And Jesus, every day when you follow him and when you take that step of obedience, the way that you're going to get to the nations is by taking that one step at a time. And as you take that step, and as you take that step, and as you take that step, the promise Jesus gives us is his presence that will empower and his presence that will sustain. It's his presence that will place this hope in you. And it's his presence that will sustain us in his great commission. And so this is how we are going to respond. As you guys were coming in, you guys have received the commitment card, Missions Month commitments. And if you turn it over to the back. There's a couple things. And so we thought about this in the context of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, right? And so once again, it's learning to follow Jesus. And it starts right here in our backyard. So the first commitment is partnering with my life group to consistently my daily circles. There's no way that you're going to be able to share the gospel with people in Sudan or Japan or Kazakhstan unless learning to share the gospel with the people in your physics class or in your workplace. It's funny, even yesterday when I was coming in, because I flew into Dallas, had a layover, and then flew into Austin. And on my way back from Dallas to Austin, I was sitting next to this elderly gentleman and his wife. And I said hello, and I was just so tired. I closed my eyes for a little bit, and I think I was knocked out for like 20 minutes, because when I woke up, they were gone. They were no longer in the seat next to me. I was like, rapture, like, I don't know what happened. And then it was a really short flight, 30 minutes. We landed, and then we got out, and I was in the carousel collecting my baggage. And there, I saw them again, and they're like, hey, how are you? He said, when you fell asleep, they moved us to first class. And so I was like, that's great, because, you know. And so we were talking, and he was, like, asking me questions about, you know, like, are you coming back home and all this stuff. And he was telling us about, telling me about, like, he and his wife went to Australia because his son's there working and so forth. And, like, I just got this feeling that, okay, this is leading somewhere. And he was starting to ask me, so what do you do? And I just told him, hey, I'm a pastor. And as soon as I told him that I'm a pastor, he said, praise the Lord. And he started talking about, like, his church here. And I was just so blessed. And I was not only blessed, but really challenged and reminded that really the Great Commission starts with where you are. And so are you willing to consistently share the gospel? Secondly, if you think about now extending that circle a little bit further, for some of our students, I want to challenge you, and we used to do this, and we haven't done this in a little bit, but I was just really convicted to bring this challenge back. Are you willing to stay in Austin for 2 years after graduation to build up the church and to love our campus and our city? Because part of this Great Commission is one generation declaring the faithfulness of God to the next. One generation discipling the next into the Great Commission. And when I think about just even our church being here, it's because there were generations who have gone before you who committed to raising up the next generation so that they will continue to live out this Great Commission of God. And I know that for some of you, this is not going to be easy. And for some of you, you might not be called. And I know that there are different factors that go into making decisions, whether it's at school, where your families are, where the job market is, and so forth. But I want to challenge some of you to think about one of those factors should be what God is doing in the church that you're part of and how He might be moving and inviting you to continue to participate in that work. Now, if you were to go a little bit further, the next circle would be committed to praying for international students, commit to praying for immigrant families in our city. And this is what we're going to do starting from next year. Every Thursday, I'm going to invite the church to pray and fast together specifically for the nations. And then if you were to extend that circle a little bit further out, some of you, I want to challenge you to participate in some of our short-term missions projects. Right? Jesus demands our entire lives. Like, if you are faithful in trying to understand the Gospels of Jesus, He demands entirety of our lives. So how do we get there? Well, we get there, once again, one step, one step, one step. And I want to challenge some of our students to think about, are you willing to sacrifice 4 weeks? of your summer. To go to a country that you've never been, to a group of people that you have no idea who they are, so that you can understand God's heart for the nations, so that you can understand that Jesus is the Lord of your life. That following Jesus doesn't mean that you just come to church, do church things, and then you leave, and then make decisions based on what's in the best for your own interest. And then the last circle is praying for the 10-10 vision. We're going to do this every Thursday. Of saying, Jesus, use us as a church to reach the nations, to reach unreached people groups. And we're not saying that we're going to do it all, but we're saying that we have a role to play in this global movement of God, and that we don't want to miss out on what God is doing. And these are not the only commitments. Maybe some of you, as we've been going through Missions Month, God's been stirring something within you. But we are challenging you to think about, how does a Great Commission, how does that shape your understanding of you being a student, you being a family, a married couple, and making decisions for your lives? Some of us being working adults and thinking about how we use our vacation days or how we use our finances. Some of you students, how you use your summers. Jesus says, follow me. And that's how we will go to the ends of the earth. And I want to challenge you to think about, what does following Jesus for you in this season of your life, what does that look like? So I want us to spend some time responding, praying together. These commitment cards, we're not going to collect them, but I am going to ask you to make a commitment. And then during life group this coming week, because that's the place where we're doing life on life together, right? That you're going to share with one another that this is going to be my commitment. Can I just invite us, just where you are seated? The Great Commission, when Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then at the end, he gives this great promise, behold, I will be with you always to the end of the ages. What does that mean for you? And how will you respond? So before we take communion together, can I just invite us to spend a little bit of time reflecting on this month that we've gone through, meditating and praying on the words of Jesus, and think about, how will you respond? And as the Spirit of God prompts you, I want you to step out in faith and say, Jesus, I want to commit sharing the gospel. I want to commit praying for the nations. I want to commit in going on summer missions. I want to commit 2 years after I graduate. I want to see Austin as my mission field. committed and praying for these cities that I've never heard of, but are strategic in reaching the unreached. What will following Jesus look like for you? So let's take a little bit of time reflecting, praying, and responding. Can we do that, church? Just want to give us a little bit of time to do that, and then after that we'll take communion and close out our time together.